John Berryhill, Registrar Constituency. Christina Rosette, IPC. John Ding, Nominating Committee Appointee to the Genocide Council. Tim Ruiz, Registrar Constituency. Lance Griffin, IPC. Kelly Smith, IPC. Peter Olson, IPC. Mike Rodenbach, BC. And David Maher, Registry Constituency. We have no one from the non-commercial constituency and no one from the IST constituency has joined to the best of my knowledge, just for your information.
This is Jeff Newman from Registry. I'm also on.
Jeff, sorry, I left you off. Anybody else I missed?
Yeah, Glenn, it's Liz, and I'll just introduce everybody into what we're going to get started with.
Okay, Liz, thanks. Liz, sorry, I missed you too.
No, it's fine. Don't worry. Good morning, everyone.
Liz, we can't hear you.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Very weak.
Just bear with me. I'm on a hotel phone, and I might just dial out and dial back in again. Can you hear me now?
It's better.
Okay. Okay, I'll proceed. If everybody is online, can I make sure that everyone has the latest updated statement of work from Bruce Tonkin? And I don't know whether you've followed the discussion today with Tom Taylor.
I sent it to the list.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. Thank you. What we need to do today is to, first of all, agree that the statement of work, as Bruce has sent around, is actually the statement of work that the group is going to do. We need to have everybody introduce themselves so that we know where everybody is from with just a brief background. We need to assign a time frame, and many of you will be here in Los Angeles this week, and if you're coming, bring your warm clothes because it's a beautiful sunny day. And then we will need to elect a chair. Someone needs to volunteer to do that, and many of you who are on the Reserve Names Group will see that it's quite a large task and it'll need quite a bit of time, but I'll be helping him to do that. And then we need to only take about an hour for this call, and we need to set up how we're going to do the next part of it. Did anyone have...
Liz, this is Tim. Hey, Glenn, I don't recall receiving, and I can't find it in my inbox, the current statement of work, the terms of work.
I've got it right in front of me, Tim, so if you want me to send it again, I will do that right now.
Yes, yeah. I would.
Yeah, this is Peter in Copenhagen. I just joined today, I guess, as well. Please send it to me as well.
Peter who?
I'll send it to Peter. I'll send it to Peter.
Okay.
And to Tim, would you please, Glenn?
I'll send it to Tim, too.
Yep. Is there anyone else that we expected to join the call today? Because we were going to have Unju from the WIPO group, and there was somebody else from NCUC who had expressed an interest. It's not necessary for us to have absolutely complete representation across the constituencies, but we do need, because the group is only going to be providing advice to the committee, the new TLD's committee, we just need to be clear that people will take ideas back to their constituencies and make sure that it's exactly what the constituencies want. Did anyone have any early questions before we proceeded to the next bit? No? Okay. If everybody has in front of them the statement of work, there are a couple of procedural questions that I just wanted to step people through first of all, for the new people on the group. The most important part of it is the policy development process, which is contained in the ICANN bylaws, which is Annex A, and I can send that around to the group, and our working group structure is not contained in the bylaws as they stand, but how we've done things is to facilitate as closely as possible the work of the group in the way in which the IDN group has been formed and the way in which the Reserve Names group has. If anyone is a new volunteer and would like a bit of extra background, I'm happy to deal with that, but I don't want to take up time on the call today to work out how that should be done. Is there, so moving quickly, because you want to turn the meeting over to a new chair, is there anyone who needs to ask any questions about anything before we do that?
Liz, this is Christina. I just have a quick question.
Sure.
The statement of work that you're referring to as the new one, is,
yep.
I just want to make sure that, A, that that's the one that, that Bruce had circulated.
Yep, that's
okay.
Exactly right.
And second, you and I had talked previously about some additional changes that you thought you and Dan might want to make.
No, they're all encapsulated.
They're in here. Okay. All right. All right.
The one thing. I wasn't going to burden the group with 7,000 emails.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So we're all there, and you'll note that the piece that Bruce sent around has, because it's taken a little while to get this off the ground, we've extended the time frame that's going to take place until May. As everyone who is working on the new PLD's work, you'll be aware that we're having 2 days of meetings here on Thursday and Friday this week in Los Angeles to make some more progress on finalizing the recommendations for the new PLD's process. This is the context in which this particular group's work is taking place. So we will have to take account of that in the broader group. So it's going to be expeditious and busy work, and we have to be careful that we don't take on too much and we get what we do take on done in a reasonable I wanted to turn now to getting some poor soul who wants to be the Chief Cook and Bottle Wash Chair. Is there anyone who would like to volunteer for that? And as I said, I'm more than happy to assist whoever that is. It's a guiding role and it's a running the meetings role. I generally design and distribute the agendas if that's necessary. It depends on how much help the group needs. I'm imagining that there'll be at least a conference between now and May. Is there anyone who'd like to volunteer?
Liz, I'd be happy to if no one else is This is Christina.
Sure, thanks, Christina. I'm recognising some of the voices. Oh, I forgot something. I'm sorry. Would everybody just mind doing a quick whiz around the room and introducing themselves, what company they're from? I heard what constituencies they're from, but we need to know what companies they're from. And all of the introductions need to be followed up with a statement of interest. And there have been two that I've just seen this morning from Kim and from Jeff Newman that have gone to the group. So I'll pause there. David, would you mind just quickly introducing yourself? David Maher?
Yes, David Maher, Senior Vice President of PIR, the operator of the registry for .org.
Thanks, David. Christina?
Cummington and Burling, IPC North America representative to the GNSO Council.
John Berryhill?
I'm John Berryhill. I'm an intellectual property attorney in private practice in Pennsylvania, USA.
Thanks, John.
And member of the RC.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry to run over you. John Bing.
I'm Professor John Bing at the Lewis Research Center for Computer and Law at the University of Oslo, NOMCOM appointee to the council.
Tim Ruiz.
Tim Ruiz with GoDaddy, Vice President of Corporate Development and Policy.
Lance Griffin, the Walt Disney Company.
What do you do with Walt Disney?
I'm executive counsel in the anti-piracy group.
Kelly Smith.
Hi, Kelly Smith, a senior attorney in the trademark group of Intel Corporation.
Peter Olson.
Yes, I'm a trademark attorney here in Denmark and a .eu panelist as well.
Hi, Grodenbach.
I am senior counsel at Yahoo, focusing in intellectual property law, and I am the a BC officer and GNSO counselor.
Jeff Newman.
So did you say Jeff Newman? Sorry, really.
Yes, I did. Sorry.
That's okay. Jeff Newman, Senior Director of Law and Advanced Services at Newstar, Inc. We are the registry operator for the .biz and .biz, GTLD, and .us, CCTLD, and we provide back-end services to .travel and .tail and DNS services to a whole bunch of TLDs, including Info.org UK.
Thank you. And there was one more person I missed. Another Peter? No? Terrific. It's obvious from those quick introductions. Thank you very much. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Liz Williams. I'm senior policy counselor based in Brussels. And I've been leading on the policy development processes for both the new TLDs project and for the policies for contracted conditions. So many of you hear my dulcet tones on far too many conferences. And you will have seen the two large reports that went out this week, which I urge you all read. I'll move now to what we needed to do. Christina, it's, or everyone, it's clear that we need to seek some other input from people who are outside the trademark world, and I'd encourage anyone in the registry, in any of the constituencies, to encourage people with different experiences to volunteer for quite highly specialised. So that's going to be an important what we need. Anyone else who wants to be a volunteer for the chair? Christina, it's up to you. Silly enough to volunteer for that job.
Yay!
That's really helpful because Christina and Uta and I have been working in the background. Christina, I'm going to hand the chair to you. As is normal practice, the call is recorded. Glenn, I don't know whether we've organised a transcription for these. Have we done that?
Yes, it's going to be a transcription. And as soon as the recording and the transcription are available, I post them to the list and they are available on the website. So if you go to the calendar page, which says Master Calendar, you'll find everything there. Thanks, Susan.
Christina, would you please take over? Would you mind, as a matter of form, just taking everybody through Bruce's statement of work, which everyone needs to be, understand, and by the end of the meeting get some sense of when the next calls will be, what kind of what kind of schedule you want supported, and where we're going to meet.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you, Christina.
For those of you who have only just seen it, and Peter and others who had not had it, I believe, Tim, you had indicated that you may not. I will just run through it very well, but do let me know once it arrives if you've got it. In terms of setting out the initial statement of work, the primary component is to essentially set the stage in terms of the background, and referring to the new GTLD committee of the GNSO that is currently developing the policy recommendations with regard to the introduction of new GTLDs, and that is the committee that Liz referenced earlier. The committee is also considering what guidelines may assist the ICANN staff in preparing and setting forth the application process and creating also a standard form agreement for registry operators. That has been one of the comments that has come out of the new process, is that to the extent that it is possible and feasible to have a standard form agreement that would apply to registries, that would go a great distance towards not only streamlining the process, but also decreasing registry applicant costs. The next context is to really provide current background with regard to specifically the registrar accreditation agreement, which, as I suspect all of you know, requires that the registered name holder represents that to the best of its knowledge and belief that neither the registration of the registered name nor the manner in which it would be used directly or indirectly violates the rights of a third party. That registration, that agreement also imposes on the registrant, and this is something that is not in the statement of work that we may want to think about adding, that essentially the registered name holder agrees to participate, so to speak, or to be bound by the outcome of a UDRP proceeding, which is the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Policy, which is a consensus policy under the ICANN framework. The policy, the UDRP, is intended to resolve disputes between the registrant and any third party over the registration and use in bad faith of an Internet domain name. And again, I think maybe we should add that as a clarifier, just a side note, to make sure that we're clear on the bad faith component. In the past, applicants for new GTLDs have been required through the request for proposal that ICANN has put forth to set out and to implement measures to discourage registration or domain names that infringe IP rights, to reserve specific names, to prevent inappropriate name registrations, minimize abusive registrations, comply with applicable trademark and anti-cyber squatting laws, and provide protections for famous name and trademark owners. And there's been a number of approaches that have been used in terms of that have varied in terms of cost and effectiveness and the number of third parties that have been affected by them. As part of the new GTLD committee deliberations, there has been discussion about what protections what additional protections beyond the current registration agreement and existing UDRP mechanisms should be in place to protect the legal rights of others during the domain name registration process, and particularly where in the startup phase of the new TLD and the launch, where there is frequently a contention for what registrants perceive to be the best names. And before I go on to the proposed purpose, is there anything that anyone would like to comment about or has questions about or would like to raise with regard to the background? All right. In terms of the purpose of the working group, it's been set forth into two subcategories, the first being to document the additional protections that have been implemented in the past by existing DTLD operators, although I'm thinking that actually we should probably revise this to TLD operators so we can bring in .eu and some of the others, beyond the current terms in the registration agreement and existing dispute process mechanisms. Essentially, the documentation would look into what problems or issues these protections were intended to solve to come up. And essentially as a threshold issue, I would think, to define the terms that we're referring to so that as we move forward and to the extent that there are recommendations made and what those recommendations are, that everyone is essentially speaking the same language. The documentation is intended to identify the problems that these additional protections were intended to solve, and is carried out further in the working group to essentially do some quantitative and qualitative analysis. With regard to the second purpose, that will essentially be to determine whether to recommend to the GNSO Council a best practices approach to providing any additional protections beyond the current registration agreement and UDRP for the legal rights during the domain name registration process, particularly during the initial startup and launch. And a best practices document, for example, could be incorporated into the RFP, or the GNSO could elect in the future to start a PDP to create a consensus policy.
Christina, it's Liz here.
Sure.
There's a couple of things, Lynn, and I don't know whether people are aware of this because it's come to this. Avery, another of the non-discriminating committee representatives, that makes some suggestions about the way in which the group is considering its work, and I just urge to be able to read that. I will forward that to the group because I'm not specific council. There's a couple of things that I'm tidying up, but I'll send that to the group in a moment. I just don't want us going barreling down the road of assumptions about what we might produce advice would give committees other than council about new TLDs without considering other people's just. But it's on its way. And sorry, keep going. Sorry.
This is Tim. At least I'm only getting like every other word that you're speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I'm going to get off this phone and dial in on another one. I'm sorry. Thanks.
I have received Avery's message. Would it be helpful to everyone if I ran through what her comments were or suggestions were? Starting with, in the fourth paragraph of the background section, she would like to recommend removing the word additional in the second line so that it would read, as I understand her suggestion, as part of the new GTLD committee deliberation. There has been some discussion about what protections beyond the current terms in the registration agreement and existing dispute resolution. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading that incorrectly. And she would also delete beyond the current terms in the registration agreement and existing dispute resolution mechanisms. So that it would read in its entirety. As part of the new GTLD committee deliberations, there has been some discussion about what protections should be in place to protect the legal rights of others during the domain name registration process, particularly during the initial startup of the new GTLD, where there is contention for what registrants perceive as the best names. If I understand her comment correctly, and given that she's not on the call, I have to just hope that I do, it would seem that she's suggesting that the kind of baseline for consideration should be moved, should be set differently. So, for example, that there should not be any assumption that the current provisions of the registrar accreditation agreement regarding the agreement to be bound, the representations by the registered name holder and the agreement to be bound would be removed, as would the incorporation of the UDRP. And Liz, I would just have a question.
Yep, I'm back. The operator turned my volume up, which could be a bad thing for everybody. Is that better?
No, significantly, for me at least.
Super. Okay. Sorry, the question was?
Well, here, as I understand, I was just reading through aloud for everyone Avery's comments, which, if I understand them correctly, she has essentially eliminated the word additional and also the phrase beyond the current terms in the registration agreement and existing dispute resolution mechanisms, which, if I'm understanding correctly, would basically move to, and I guess what I'm actually not clear on is to what extent there has been discussion within the new GTLD about additional protections beyond the registration agreement and the UDRP applicability, as I've only recently come into the entire deliberation process. It seems that to a certain extent there's some factual information that I simply don't have and would just ask others who may to contribute here.
If Liz here, I can just give a quick bit of background if that's helpful. The UDRP has not been discussed, the applicability of UDRP has not been discussed in any particular detail beyond the terms and conditions, the policies, the contractual conditions for new TLDs, and that's why this work is valuable, because perhaps it needs more fleshing out and more discussion. One thing that was done was the use of UDRP-like processes to determine, and Unju has more information on this because we have been working in the background on this as well, about how we would use UDRP-like processes to resolve two different issues. One, which was string contention between applicants for the same name, which would include, and it would also include a challenge process for existing trademark and intellectual property rights owners to challenge an application on the basis that the application would unfairly restrict their rights that are held as trademark rights or intellectual property rights. So in terms of the detailed discussion about whether a new registry operator would be obliged to, for example, implement a, I don't want to be prescriptive here, but a sunrise-like period for the new registry, and that has not been discussed in any detail at all. And to my mind, the purpose of this group's discussion is to determine, to have a look at the background of those types of things, look at the way in which they've been run in the past for new registries, look at the way they've been used, and come up with some good advice for the committee to consider whether sunrise-like processes were useful and the appropriate mechanism to protect rights holders and indeed the rights of others. But there are plenty who argue that there are broader rights that need to be protected in terms of free expression, and that's why it's important that the NCUC provides us with a volunteer or we seek their explicit views, because there is certainly some tension between the two camps, which, as the person who has to write all this, I have to balance that very, very carefully. So that's a bit of background. If anyone wants to ask me more questions about that specifically, I'm more than happy to take those questions.
This is Tim. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
So what Aubrey's trying to do is to open up the discussion to include the protections that are already granted in the registration agreement and being able to discuss whether those are necessary or sufficient.
Yeah.
What are you trying to
do? For example, the connections between the relationship for the registrar accreditation agreement is one of the recommendations from the committee is that new registrars will be obliged to continue to use ICANN-accredited registrars. Now, continuing to use ICANN-accredited registrars under the same terms and conditions probably needs to be a question that should be answered. So, and that would go right to the heart of the questions that are being raised here. So we probably need to include that in the discussion. But I'm pretty sure that that will get fleshed out when we start to divvy up the work. I'm not quite sure how you wish as a group to take the work on. And those of you who are on under Chuck Stern guidance in the Reserve Names Group will be finding it a rather larger task than perhaps you thought you were going to get into. It depends on how we're going to divide up the work as to which issues we assign to which people or how we do threads of material or what you would like me to do for the group in terms of putting things together. So if we just have a bit more of a sort of broad discussion about the meaning of the parameters of the statement of work, then I think some of that will be flushed out.
Before we do that, should we hit Avery's other point about the potential tension with the IDN working group?
Certainly.
Sure. She has essentially raised the question about what the relationship is between this group and the IDN consideration group, in that she believes that the issues of translations and transliterations of Marx that will come into play in the context of IDNs is something that is not considered. And I have thought that that someone had raised the question in the February 1 call about whether or not IDNs were within the scope of this, and that the conclusion had been no. But I don't, please correct me if I'm wrong, anyone.
Christian, I'll take that one on notice. I think we need to be very careful here. This is why it's really important that we coordinate the work very carefully. Many of you who are on the, some of you perhaps are, if I look back at the list, is anyone, first of all, on the IDN working group?
I am. Mike Oddenbach.
Mike Oddenbach, was that? Mike?
Yes, I am.
Right, okay, so there's only one crossover there. What I'll do is I'll speak to Ram Mohan and just double check on what's going on his side. Olaf is on holidays at the moment, so I can't speak to him about it. The bottom line for all of this is, though, because this work is being done in the context of new TLDs, and applications for IDN TLDs will be treated in the same way as applications for ASCII TLDs, I do think, though, that it's a whole different ball of problem to be dealing with UDRP and other bits and pieces, and we'll probably need to seek some special advice from WIPO people or others in this group to make sure that we get all of that exactly right. So if you don't mind, I'll take that as an action item to just double-check things with Ram and then come back to the group, either by email or on the conference call, when we do our next call, to just make sure that we're all okay there.
So I would think that we probably ought to have a liaison, and I wasn't aware I was the only person crossing over, so I guess I would be the best candidate at this point.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, so we certainly want to make sure we're obviously not duplicating work, and there has been discussion in the IDN group that personally I think is more appropriate for this group in regards to confusing similarity and all. So.
Yep. Oh, thank you, Mike. If you wouldn't mind just taking that, and then I'll speak to Ram in the background about what else we might need to just make sure we cover off.
Right.
Oh, Christina, that was a bit of a digression.
Sure, no, that's fine. The other two comments that Avery had is that with regard to just a typographical error that she had noted, and she would like to revise the reference to affected parties, although I'm having a hard time finding where that is.
Just halfway down the page.
In the background section?
And I'll just find it for you. Keep going and I'll find it for you.
All right. And then she's raised the question about to what extent is the enlarging scope of trademark rules that comes into play once IDNs are included taken into account by this or the IDN charter? I frankly am not really quite sure how to incorporate that because that the question, I think, presumes something that is not necessarily universally or unanimously agreed upon, namely that IDNs will enlarge trademark rules. So I'm a little reluctant to go too much further into it without having a better sense as to if she means something else.
I'll be speaking, of course, to Avery about the Febo 6 stuff later today, so leave that with me and I'll just speak to her
about
what she intends.
All right.
The only question or comment that I would have is that, and I think maybe we need to go back to the minutes of the February 1 meeting, is with regard to her initial suggestion about it would essentially move the baseline for discussion so that we would have to consider whether the current registrar accreditation agreement provisions and whether the UDRP would come into play. I was on...
Michael Pelage now join.
Okay. I don't believe that that was actually part of the conversation in the sense that I don't think there was any discussion, and again, you know, I certainly think it's worth checking the recordings from Feb 1, but I don't believe that there was any discussion as to whether we were even, as to whether that was even open for discussion. In other words, I think there was no discussion of it all, which I personally have come to the conclusion that, you know, the baseline would be, you know, the UDRP consensus policy and the existing registrar accreditation agreement. And if she's proposing something other than what seemed to be the consensus on the February 1 call, then I think we have a question about do we now need to go back to the GSO Council to get approval on the statement of work.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. To me, the adoption of the UDRP is a given. It's an assumption that it has to apply to everything. I mean, it's been in place since 1999 and works perfectly for the limited things that it is designed to do, namely the cyber squatters.
Well, let me just step back and ask this. Liz, and I apologize because I haven't had a chance to read the revised PDP Feb 06 draft. Where is that coming out on whether or not consensus policy should apply?
Christina, would you mind just asking the question again? It was relating to Feb 06 and I was taking my phone off mute.
Oh, sure. I was trying to just step back and get a better sense as to where in the current draft of the Feb 06 PDP are we on whether or not consensus policy should always apply. Because that may allow us to sidestep the issue, depending upon what the outcome is there.
I will read you the recommendation, which says all constituencies supported. No, wait on. Let me see. I'm going to open it, and I'm going to give you exactly the recommendation. I don't have them actually on the tip of my tongue. I should. Wait a tick. I'll just go to it. Hang on a sec. Right here. Sorry, bear with me 1 second. I don't want to think about that budget today. Bear with me. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through the report. I want to give you the exact...
Sure. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. There were two elements to it, and I'm sorry this is tedious for those who are not on that particular group, but it will help us answer the question. Two elements to the term of reference with respect to registry relationship between registry agreements and consensus policy. It was evident from the straw polling that we had done, and the task force does straw polls rather than votes, was that the strongest support for recommendation was that the present limitations to consensus policy are approved and should continue. So those elements that apply for consensus policies as they stand, and there are 5 of those sections that are contained in each of the 16, they're each of the registry agreements that are already published on the ICANN website. And then the second part was about sponsorship and delegation of responsibility, and all constituencies supported the recommendation that certain policy-making responsibilities should be delegated to GTLD operators that have sponsored TLDs like the museum and co-op model.
This is Jeff Newman. I'm also on that Feb 06, and I could just say that there's never been any discussion in that group on the UDRP individually. In other words, there's never been any discussion that said that the UDRP should not apply.
Yep, that's exactly right. Does that help you, Christina?
Well, it does. You know, the problem is that I understand, given what's going on in the PDP 06 context and given my recollection of the discussion on the February 1 call, to say, you know, what Aubrey has suggested is inconsistent with what was previously approved, and we are not going to make that revision, which could be wrong. I frankly, that's what I'm trying to really get a handle on.
The group itself doesn't amend its terms of reference.
All right.
So we just have to deal with what is published.
Right.
And Bruce's latest published document incorporates the suggestions that were made by Chuck and by others and in the background, and that's what we'll be going with.
All right. Then I am inclined to say that in that context, that the proposed revision is not correct.
I think we just deal with that on the council.
Right. And if we have to circle back and broaden the scope of the working group, then we will. But I don't want to get too bogged down into it. And I haven't seen any other comments. Has anyone else seen anything else?
Just Tom Keller saying that he agreed with the, and Chuck saying he agreed with Bruce's statement.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I would imagine, Liz, unless you have other suggestions, that the next order of business would to try and identify what meeting schedule would work for everyone in the context of our May 27 May deadline, essentially.
Christina, more than happy to do that. How we hope to do it, and I'm very sorry for people who are not used to this system, but I'm happy to explain it in the background. Glenn is mistress of the master calendar, and Glenn makes sure that we don't have crossing over with IDN, working group, this group, and any of the other groups. And if the group could generally agree that they wish to meet on a frequency of once a week, let's say, or whatever, between now and X period of time, and I would suggest that it's at the end of May to make sure that we catch everything in time for the board report. And I just wanted to step everyone through quickly where we're up to in the new TLD process, just because this will have a direct bearing on how often and when you choose to meet. The state that we're in now for the new TLD's report is that a draft final report has been released, and I'm sure many of you have seen it, right? That final report, who laughed? That's not even funny. In the next couple of days, when we have the meetings here in LA, that draft final report will be turned into a final report for submission to the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council will sign that off and say, we think that's fabulous, good job, committee. Put your feet up and have a beer. And what will happen between now and the Lisbon meeting is that that report will be turned into the formal final report of the committee's work. Now, of course, we're going to have to put a placeholder in that report for this group's work, for some of the work on the IDN group, for some of the work on the reserve names group. So there's a few pieces of the puzzle that need to be put together. What happens between Lisbon and Puerto Rico, the intention is that we would have a final board report ready between Lisbon and the Puerto Rico meeting, which would include another public comment period on the recommendations, and any further updates we might have on the progress that the GAC is making on their public policy principles that relate to the introduction of new TLDs, and that's another critical piece of the puzzle which needs to be incorporated. Keeping all that in mind now, and I have to rely on Glenn here because I always bugger this up, the master calendar sets out what's possible for us to do over the next couple of months. And generally what I like to do is to set a one time that is least inconvenient for everybody, that is predictable and that doesn't change, because there's nothing worse than thousands of email messages going backwards and forwards. So if the group could agree that they wish to meet, for example, once a week at this rough time between now and the Lisbon meeting to complete X portion of the work, then that's certainly doable. And then what we should do at the Lisbon meeting is get together face-to-face, and I have to schedule that in all of the other workshops and working groups that we put together for face-to-face meeting, but that's actually quite an effective way of working. Now, if that suits everyone, then Glenn and I would come back with some suggestions about days and times for a meeting, for this group to meet by teleconference between now and the Lisbon meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have any questions about that idea?
I think given our proposed schedule and purpose, I think once a week at a minimum, and then perhaps we can just flesh it out later to the extent it becomes necessary to do more frequently, or subgroups can meet more frequently.
The the issue with the meeting of the groups meeting more frequently is that there is already an existing GNSO council schedule, an existing IDN schedule, and an existing IDN schedule, and many of the same people are involved, and people do get very weary of constant ICANN conference teleconferences. And that we have to be conscious that people's time is not all devoted to ICANN-related matters, even though they're very important to us. Who else is involved in the group on another one of the working groups? Mike's in the IDN group. David, Jeff,
I'm on the Federal Respect
group. John Bing and Tim Ruiz and... Yes. So there's not much crossover. Mike Pelage, you're lurking in the background there. You're on the reserve names group as well, aren't you?
Correct, Liz.
Yep. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. So we don't have too much overlap with this group, and I'm very much hoping that the FEBO 6 task force calls are finished now and we complete the work on Sunday here in Los Angeles. So that would leave us clear. If we took out those critical obligations to pop this one into it, into that slot, that suited everybody.
And for those who aren't familiar with that schedule, that's a 1400 EST, 1100 Pacific, and forgive me, I haven't really focused on the European time.
You should, Chris. That's what I did. I'll remind you all, because my children loathe it, that if we have conference calls in the evening to suit you lot and the LA lot, it's 8 o'clock at night for me, and I have a very, very long day. So if it could be earlier in the day for me, I would greatly appreciate it, but it makes it almost impossible for our West Coast people to participate, if there are any who are there. So is there anyone on the West Coast that needs to be included?
I am on the West Coast, my brother-in-law.
And Kelly and Lance are as well, I believe.
Okay, all right. So what I suggest we do is leave it at that time. Occasionally you will hear, well, please, Mummy, get off the phone from my two-year-old. But beyond that, I think it's best to...
Okay, which time?
That, please. It is 11 o'clock in the morning, LA, 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
oh.
The 1900 UTC, 1900 UTC and 2000 Brussels.
And what day of the week?
The PDP 06 one, which I'm thinking of substituting, has been Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Does that roughly help everybody?
This is Peter in Copenhagen. It doesn't help. I also have children, so I'll be calling from home.
Yeah, me too. So we've got to just pick a time that we stick with it that's least inconvenient for everybody.
Right. Well, how about earlier in the day? Because that could still be convenient for us on the West Coast and more convenient for you all in Europe.
Frankly, if it's going to be in the evening, it needs to be after dinner and I've got children to bed. I'm sorry to bore everyone.
Oh,
my
child. Gotcha.
However, there's a witching hour between about 5:30 and about 7:30 that just goes on.
I hear you. I have it as well.
Okay.
And so do I, so we all understand.
Exactly. So I suggest that to cut it short, we stick with that time, and that helps Glenn and I too, if it's stuck at that time. But also we record everything and we transcribe things and we put everything in MP3s and we pick minutes. So if people do miss, then that's how we've handled in the past.
Is it so that's Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific time?
Yes, but I'm not going to commit to that now. I'll just get Glenn and I will do this offline in a tick and send it around to everyone with the proper dial-in details and how
right.
to do it. We won't. You don't need to take it down now. What I wanted to get was agreement in principle that you all thought that once a week was fine on a conference call at a time, and then we'll set it up.
I think we have consensus.
It's equal. Quickly move on, Christina, before they change their mind.
Sure. Just running quickly through the outline of a suggested outline of the working group work plan. The first component is obviously to analyze the protection mechanisms that have been used thus far, focusing obviously first on what TLDs we're talking about. And I do think that in light of the .eu experience that it is very important to also include .eu in addition to what I usually consider to be the GTL, you know, the usual TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that there are other, I guess, CCTLDs that others believe have had an experience that would be significantly, would be valuable to take into account, then obviously we could extend to cover that. And so once we've identified the TLDs we're talking about, we need to identify what the issues that the mechanisms were designed to solve and issues that may have developed over time. For example, the issues that may have been designed to solve, for example, are someone seeking in bad faith to register a domain name that is equivalent to a famous trademark. And just to kind of throw that out to give you an example, and issues that may have developed is, for example, the fact that many trademark owners sometimes find themselves seeking essentially defensive registrations, mainly to serve as placeholders, those types of issues. Then turning to the existing rights protection mechanisms, looking at things like eligibility.
Christina, this is Jeff. Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Those are issues both, are those policy issues or those operational issues? Because there were a ton of operational issues that arose in everyone's implementation, whether it was EU, Biz, US, Info. Is this the place where we do operational issues?
I would think so. But again, that's something that we haven't set in stone. So we can certainly talk about what the consensus of the group would be as to what would be most useful to take into account.
Christina, I just need to add a little piece onto that bit. The piece associated with that is the impact of implementing
any agreed ICANN consensus policy. So those operational impacts are very, very important in an analysis of whether you want to provide whether the committee would want to provide policy guidance or implementation guidelines, and we have to be very conscious of the operational impacts on registry operators and the costs that are associated with imposing a policy that need to be balanced with the needs of other interests. So that work is very, very important, and if anyone who's not familiar with that wants to have a little look at the way in which, for example, a task force report is structured, the constituency impact statement is really important. And for those who are on the 6 group, for example, those elements need to be included into the existing draft report so that we see that we formalise properly in a proper reporting process the way in which there's the impact statement on a constituency of any proposed policy. So that's where those kinds of operational elements would go into it, and it's a very, very important piece of the work.
Yeah, and just to add to that, each of the registries that were launched in 2000 had proof-of-concept reports, and ORG also had a proof-of-concept report, although I guess they really didn't have any launch because it was just a transition. But and I'm not sure, Liz, and if you could check, we submitted ours to ICANN back in 2002 or 2000, whenever it was, and it hasn't been posted by them. I'm going to send around to the group our proof of concept report, which has a whole section on our IP claims process and all the problems that we encountered and how we solved them, and recommendations. I'm going to send that around. I don't know why ICANN never posted it.
Good question, Jeff. I don't know. The other issue, of course, is in the evaluation reports for the 2004 round, ICANN registry staff, Karen Lenz and at that time Tina, also did impact reports of the establishment of new TLDs. So those reports are available. And I would imagine, but I haven't read them, that somebody will have done some analysis on the impact of the .au introduction, for example. So all of that material is very, very useful. And who else? Jeff, would you mind asking if there are other registries that would want to share their proof of concept reports?
They should all be posted in public, but I'll ask the question to see if they've done anything since.
Would you mind? Because I haven't seen them on the site, and it would be helpful if they were posted somewhere that was useful, most likely in the registry section.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, Christina, just to answer your question, yeah, it's going to be crucial to analyze the operational impact.
Well, I had never really drawn a distinction between it, because in most of the impacts that I frankly personally had considered are operational. So you have no disagreement here. In terms of continuing on the analysis of the existing rights protection mechanisms, the next part is really more of descriptive. What eligibility requirements were in place, what rights bases or requirements were applied, What was the submission process? What were the costs of submission? What costs? What was the process and the cost associated with review of applications? What mechanism for challenge was made available, if any, and what were the costs of that mechanism? And in terms of the other issues, and again, some of these are frankly just illustrative, and we can certainly expand on them as we think it's appropriate. But in terms of the issues that have been arising out of or related to the existing rights protection mechanisms, again, kind of linking back to those various considerations, eligibility, rights bases, you know, for example, rights bases are requirements, and, you know, one example that comes immediately to mind, just to give everybody some context, is that in connection with the .eu launch, it was possible, and many did, go seek a Benelux registration, which would then provide them the hook, the eligibility, the basis to participate in the .eu Sunrise.
Christina, it's Liz here. I just need to go to the heart of what we actually need to do. And can I just ask a question about the group's intention about how they wish to do the work? Is it the group's intention that, for example, you divide up Section 1B and 1D, 1B and C, and then 1D, and put it all in a different bunch of volunteers, or are you intending to do it as a block of work with everybody working on it?
I was thinking that you know, again, that there are really two ways to do it. One is to go kind of straight across the TLD. You know, each people would be responsible for analyzing particular TLDs and kind of across the board. What was the mechanism? What were the operational issues? What were the, you know, all of that. The other way to do it is, as you suggest, to kind of divide it up thematically in terms of looking, one group would perhaps, again, across the TLDs, look at the operational issues and essentially kind of tie that with, you know, because they do cross-relate versus somebody doing A and C. Do people have a preference in terms of what they think would be easier?
I think the former makes more sense to me.
I agree. I think just take it by TLD and go all the way through Section 1, and then once we get Section 1 done, I think we kind of move on to the other sections and divide up work again.
Right.
One thing then that might help you guys, I don't know whether you all wish to read all of the registry agreements. There's some stuff that I did together with Dan on a draft comparison of ICANN registry agreements, and I'm just opening it now, and I will drag out the sections that are relevant to this and use that as the beginning of it, and there's also a table that I'll send around to everybody, and we can just insert it into the table. It has all of the registry agreements down the left-hand side, and what kind of TLD agreement it is, if it's a sponsored or not sponsored, when it was available, you know, all the conditions that are associated with it. So I'm just anxious that this is a large piece of work to do, and we've got a small amount of time to do it in. And what I did for the Reserve Names Group was to pull together a background information document that started from the same place. Now, I know you're all very comfortable dealing with contracts and looking at things and vast quantities of information. So what I'll do, Christina, is I will pull together, like I did for the Reserve Names Group, all the relevant material for people to start with, so that you don't have to go back to the very, very basics of tooling through.
Excellent. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then the outline just continues into analysis of quantitative effectiveness, qualitative effectiveness.
Christina, can I just maybe just plan a little bit better about how we want to divide up the work on this first section once Liz does the valuable background work?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that essentially people could just volunteer because, you know, obviously Jeff, for example, has got, you know, it doesn't make sense for Jeff to do, I don't know, .mobi. I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Right. No, I just a suggestion. I think they can kind of be grouped together, maybe take the original GTLDs that were put out, com.org, then take the second round, then have somebody deal with another group do STLDs, and have another group do CCTLDs.
Was that Mike speaking?
Yes. something in my throat.
No, it's all right. I just can't quite identify your voice yet, and we need it for the transcript. So if you can just identify who you are as you're going along. I would hesitate to make a distinction between sponsored and unrestricted. I like your idea of 2000 and 2004, and then there's the hybrid one in the middle, which we can use a couple of examples. I was on the board of .au when we did all of this, so there's some interesting country code examples we can use. Change in the way in which the country code was used, and then of course we have the regional ones like .au, which are a different kettle of fish again. So there'll be 2000, 2004, some CCTLD examples, and some hybrid examples, I think.
Okay. Well, I guess obviously we could wait until we get your background work and then divvy it up at that point.
Yeah, sure. And that'll be by the end of the week. Before the next conference call, I'll send it around to everybody.
Okay.
All right. Unless, of course, somebody happens to have a list of the TLDs handy and all the documents. I actually have a collection of all the 2004 applications, which obviously is different from the actual policies themselves. But I'm happy to send that around if anybody would like it.
I think what we want to deal with is actual registry agreements and how it was done in the actual...
Right.
Rather than... Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Okay. And then just in terms of looking at the impacts, we will look at registries and registrars as one category, other affected parties, which would be, you know, prior rights owners and kind of a very blanket other categories. Which could be...
Excuse me.
Sorry?
This is Tim.
Yeah?
Go ahead. Just a question.
Sure.
Now, we're not talking about... We're not assuming that the protection of the rights of others is strictly... has to do with intellectual property, correct? I mean...
Exactly. Right.
Okay. So as we look at this, it's more of a broader rights of others. So registrants in general would certainly be a category.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Tim, that's where when you're on the reserve names group, that you can... can I officially designate you to be the reserve names group liaison to this group, please? and I just picked you because you happen to speak up. But seriously, though, the protection of the rights of others, for example, and Michael Pelage will have more to say about this, like for international governmental organisations or other reserve names that are not able to be registered in a new registry, the same conditions apply.
Yeah, Liz, this is Mike Pelage. If I could interject at this time, Christine, just I do have a comment, actually two comments. The first is you had said prior rights owners. What were you intending by prior rights owners?
Well, that's one of the first things we need to do is you know, identify ahead of time what terms we think we will need to be using and how, as a group, we want to define them.
Okay. And, Liz, maybe you could answer me this question. You may recall on the reserve name list, I had initially proposed the question of whether we were dealing with ICANN reserve names or reserve names. I asked what the definition was up front, and I was told that we were handcuffed by what the council had set forth. So do we have latitude here to define our terms?
Nope, you do not.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, Christine, I just wanted to sort of provide you that little bit of insight because I ran into that obstacle in the other working group. And with regard to, if you will, the rights of others, I would just point out that if you look at the WIPO 2 report, the rights of others is rather broadly defined to not only include just trademark owners, but indigenous people, geographic places. And again, this is something that perhaps Tim, as the designated liaison of the Reserve Names Working Group, might be able to interface and provide some continuity there on those points.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think to the extent that I was, I mean, when you asked your question prior rights, I was thinking on more of the micro, not the macro. So I think, you know, to the extent there was a disconnect, that I think is where it was. But Liz, is there kind of a set list of terms that have been defined either by other working groups or in the context of other PDPs
that may be useful here? So that's the extent.
Certainly definitions of reserve names.
Okay.
Yeah. Which would apply, I mean, if the policy is to continue to apply the reserve names policy as it stands, and it's quite comprehensive across all of the existing registry agreements, and the reserve names group says, yes, that's a great idea, continue as is, then it is likely that that will be a policy recommendation from the committee that existing reserve names policy will apply. So that's the context of it.
Okay. All right. And then ultimately, what we are looking to do is to also, not ultimately, but also to try and identify, is there something that's scalable? Is there something that, if it was the recommendation of the working group, that it should be adopted? Is there something that can be easily implemented, that type of thing? You know, obviously, in when you're talking about scalability and feasibility and implementation, issues really become critical. And then finally, to the extent that there are other mechanisms that perhaps have not been considered or have been considered but not implemented for one reason or another, what are those? Should we be taking a closer look at them? How can we, to the extent that there were perhaps implementation issues in the past, how can we deal with those? I guess in terms of for assuming that we're going to have a call next Thursday.
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. I'm sorry. I wrote down the wrong date.
I will double check that with Glenn just to make
okay.
sure no thing.
Right.
No passes.
Does everyone want to just go ahead and do we want to wait for the registry? What was the document, Liz, that you've got, the registry agreement?
Yeah, I've got the whole background.
Okay. All right.
I'll just work with Dan today. I'm actually in Los Angeles, and
okay.
it's easier to me to stand at Dan's desk and talk to him about it. So how about I take away two action items? One is that I will work with Ben to determine the date, time, and place of the meetings. But it'll be one fixed time at about this time for between now and Lisbon, and that prior to the next meeting, I'll release an agenda and some background documentation, which I'll try to give people enough time to go through. And then at the next meeting, we should be able to divvy up the work unless somebody wants to volunteer right now to do the lot, which would be super.
Additionally, at this point, we should still be focusing on filling out the group as well, getting it a little bit more representative, as we said at the outset. So I'll make it certainly a takeaway item to talk at this weekend's meetings in L.A. with some folks from the ISPs and the NCUC, at least, and see if we can recruit a couple folks from those constituencies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, that's great. Okay, all right. Is there anything else that you needed, Christina?
I don't believe so.
Any questions from anyone? Anything that wasn't clear or anything that needed anything else?
Well, in that case, yes, thank you everyone for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.